Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm excited because I'm here with Butler Raines. And I met Butler in Atlanta maybe 2 years ago. Is it about 2 years ago now?
That's the crazy part. I think it was only about a year ago.
Only a year ago?
A year and 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in the short time, we've become really good friends. Yeah. And he's become a very important part of not only my life, but the Trini Foundation and the things that I'm doing with my yoga community. And it's been really powerful to see not only like him grow and change just in this short amount of time, but I've got to really witness like him kind of face his demons. And I've got to see like, you know, Butler who was drinking or that was struggling, and I was a little bit a part of that process. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, we're here today and we're in Costa Rica. And we're sitting here by the pool and we're hanging out. We just got back from the beach, which is really cool. And so this is our second year together in Costa Rica, which is awesome. So thanks for being on the show, Butler.
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So let's just start. Like, why don't you give a little background about like where you're from, what you're about, what do you do for a living, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man. Well, you might can tell from my voice. I'm from middle South Georgia. Grew up in a small town of about 500 people. Not much going on there. We were bused to school about an hour and a half to go to the county seat, Sandersville, for high school. I think everyone's dream for their kids was to work in the chalk mines. Kaolin is what it's actually called.
But really?
Yeah. I did a short summer stint working as a clay loader on trains.
And that's hard work, too.
Yeah, yeah. But to be in the lab at the chalk mines was like a job you wanted to have. And I was a smart kid.
Okay.
And so he's like, you know, go off to college, get a degree, come back, work in the lab.
Wow. And tell us a little bit about like your family and stuff. Like, you know, did you grow up with your parents?
I did. My parents are married. They still live in Harrison, Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah. They are totally head over heels in love with each other. And people often joke, that they leave the house once a week to go to town, yeah, so they go to the grocery store. But other than that, they're just perfectly comfortable.
Wow.
Being around each other. My mom is not in great health. She got sick when I was in eighth grade.
Okay.
And almost died from some gastrointestinal problems.
Oh, man.
Everything kind of changed for a little bit then. My dad, she was in the hospital a long time. My dad was taking care of her. My dad, my mom was a nurse growing up until she got sick.
Yeah.
LPN. And my dad was the mail carrier.
Oh, wow.
The rural mail carrier. So he drove his pickup truck all around, delivered mail.
Wow. Yeah. You worked for the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah. What's really interesting is Harrison, my family, along with a couple other families, used to own a lot of the town. So, like, when I was first born, there was, like, the Rain Superette, which was, like, the local convenience grocery store.
Sure.
But even before I was born, there was, like, the laundromat and the liquor store and the beauty shop and the hotel. But all that's, there's nothing there now.
Nothing there?
Nothing.
Wow. Yeah,
a few families.
Just because of the economy or something?
Yeah, well, more or less, I don't know the specifics, but I know the train used to come through the town. It no longer really does.
Oh, got it.
Whatever, I should probably investigate my family history one day. But
huh.
Yeah, it went from having a lot of these thriving businesses to nothing.
It's already a small amount of people, too.
Yeah, my memory serves. I mean, I don't know the specific timeline, but my grandfather, who started all these businesses, was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Somewhere in there and around his death is when I think things started changing.
Got it.
In that way.
Wow. And so you said you were a smart kid. Did you end up going to college?
I did. Yeah. I, it's hard to remember. I was a really smart kid. I remember being very ashamed to be called so many times, like at Honors Day. I was like kind of the kid that would walk with his with his head down, so no one can kind of see him go get the award.
Yeah. Why? Because you got a lot of them?
Yeah. Okay. It's usually me or this other guy named Brent that I was really good friends with. And then somewhere around 10th grade, I think I probably started rebelling against that a little bit.
So you didn't want to be the smart kid anymore.
Yeah. I was skateboarding and probably started smoking pot around that age or something like that. I was kind of a depressed kid in class. And probably, you know, could have gone anywhere if I had applied myself, but took the SAT once, got a score, got accepted to UGA, went there for a year.
Wow. And you enjoyed UGA?
I didn't. So I didn't graduate from UGA.
I'm
about to admit some stuff. I don't know if I should publicly.
I mean, you can admit whatever you want. It's up to you.
My dad went to UGA.
Okay.
And I grew up a big Georgia fan. And that was just kind of like the place I was to go. And I remember moving in and I remember not feeling like I fit in at all with anybody.
I mean, did you ever feel like you fit in though?
There was a small stint in high school. There was two or three of us, Dave and Jason and a girl named Amber.
Okay.
It was kind of a little clique where I felt like I did with them.
Yeah.
But we were very different from a lot of the, I just say, white kids at school. It's a very conservative southern town, and tend to hang out with a lot of the black kids, which sometimes wasn't viewed as what you should be doing, things like that. And so we kind of had our own little group, and we were cool with that. But when I went to UGA, just did not know how to connect to people. And the only way I learned to connect was I figured out my neighbor was selling acid. And so I could get it by the sheet, and I could sell it. And kind of people were excited when I came home because I would have what they wanted. You know, so all of a sudden I was...
You're the star. You were the person that everyone went to.
That's right. Yeah. Even before I crossed about the time I crossed the county line. So,
wow.
Yeah. But
that's kind of like a ticket down the wrong
line. Yeah. Yeah.
Wrong road, right?
Yeah. But just couldn't connect. More often than not, if you were alone with me, we'd have some type of conversation of like, why would you even want to be sitting here talking to me or something like that?
Hmm. Like the feeling of self-worth or something like that?
I mean, it was worse than that. I mean, it was, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, I would verbalize, it'd be the effect of me sitting here being like, Taylor, you can interview anyone in the world. Why would you want to even be talking to me? You know, like, why would
like
you?
Like ashamed of being who you were?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I didn't stay there. I left.
Where did you go to college at? So where was the next place that you went to college?
It was Georgia College in Melville, Georgia. And that was really good for me, but maybe.
Why was it good?
So when I got there, I wasn't going to live on campus. The college is very close to my hometown. It was actually at the time a commuter school for the towns I grew up in. And I was going to drive back and forth, but my brother wrecked my truck, so I had to move in. So I moved in dorms with this guy named Calvin Fullwood, basketball player there.
Yeah.
And, man, same story as Georgia, just didn't know how to connect, didn't think people wanted to talk to me, and took a job filing transcripts in the basement of the admissions office. So this moldy basement.
So no one had to talk to you?
No one had to talk to me.
Wow.
And I swear to God, this is how it went down. Like, we got a new president who was supposed to change the face of the school, and the vice president of that department grabbed me and the tour guide one day and said, look, we're starting a club called the Student Ambassadors, and y'all are going to be the faces of it. Need you to write the charter.
Yeah.
And we started this club like being the face of the college. And so I was kind of went from like filing things
in the basement to all of a sudden
to like being pushed in a room and saying, talk to these people and tell them how great Georgia College is.
Wow. And you didn't even really want to be there either.
Yeah. So I just kind of
just wanted to hide.
Yeah, I just learned how to, like, say whatever I needed to say to, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, that was really good for me. I think what really happened I wasn't aware of was there were some adults in that office who thought I probably had more potential than I could see and were trying to pull me out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I did a lot of that school stuff, you know, orientation, counselor, things like that for a long time.
How long did you do that?
All the way to when I graduated. Like, I started, that club's actually a really prestigious club on campus now.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the side story to all that is, and you might be surprised by this, up until Georgia College, I didn't enjoy drinking. Like, I remember specifically at UGA, I would have a beer and then, like, be ashamed because I was at a trash can puking.
Really?
Yeah. And
one beer would make you puke?
Yeah. Just could not hang.
Jeez.
But then at Georgia College, I kind of...
Came out of your shell.
Came out of my shell, yeah. You know, as a good Southern boy is expected to do, you know, you have your whiskey.
Of course.
And kegs on football game day, and everybody comes over and you watch every SEC game, and
right.
You get as drunk as you possibly can, and you go downtown, you try to pick up whatever girls you can.
Yeah, and you entered that scene right around that time.
And then I was cool.
Yeah. You're part of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was, maybe.
You know, well, I mean, also, I mean, it lets down so many, like... you know, social anxieties and things like that, where, you know, you might not actually be fitting in, but it feels like you fit in.
That's right.
And that's the only thing that really matters, is that you feel like you're fitting in at that point, you know? So, yeah it's pretty crazy.
I probably didn't fit in, because I remember always asking, like, why can't I ever get the girl? Why can't I pick up the girl? Like, probably because I was so damn drunk.
Yeah. And how long did you, I mean, once that started, were you able to, like, stop drinking? Or was that, like, something that, like, kind of kicked off from there?
I know, man. I can't remember who it was. The name escapes me. I remember a girl I knew walking up to me on campus and being like, oh, my, like, I've never seen you sober.
Jeez.
But, I mean.
That kind of hurts.
It does. It does. But, man, I don't know who looks out for me. But I seemed to fall forward, and I left Georgia College and got a great scholarship to go to graduate school.
Wow.
So.
And where'd you go to graduate school at?
University of Florida.
Okay. I think I remember you saying that to me.
Yeah. So I went into a PhD program in chemistry and ultimately didn't. Obviously, I don't have a PhD.
Yeah.
So you kind of fill in blanks there, but.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about, like, you know, that shift into, you know, like, getting sober and finding yoga and stuff like that. And so did you, was it an easy shift from going from, like, drinking all the time to yoga, you know, like, job, drinking?
No, not an easy shift. And I don't even know if there was a shift.
Okay.
And I smile at you because... I know you know pieces of this story.
So, yeah, I don't know all of it.
When did I start yoga? So I'm going to backtrack a few years before I found my yoga class. Mm-hmm. I'm very ashamed of this, actually. I was a raging alcoholic and addict while I was a school teacher. I got to Atlanta by taking a job at school to teach chemistry.
Oh, got it.
But I had always programmed since I was a kid. My dad bought me a computer, right, Apple IIc or something, right when they first came out. And always programmed, and teachers don't make much, and so I program on the side, projects, this and that, make some money, just support my drug and drinking habits.
Sure.
And this LinkedIn social media platform was all the rage, or it just started, and... This company found me because I knew this certain program.
Yeah. LinkedIn found you?
No, well, through LinkedIn.
Oh, through LinkedIn.
This company found me, a recruiter, and took a job there. And when I got there, it was like a lot of money, especially what I was not only used to making, but especially relative to what I was brought up with.
Yeah.
You know? And
which can be a big change, too.
Yeah.
I mean, going from, like, you know, living in a small town, not having a lot, and then all of a sudden, like, having a lot.
In Atlanta, tons of money.
Yep.
Single. I got really scared that the CEO and his wife, who was a co-founder, would find out about my drug addiction. And I started trying to figure out how to stop using cocaine. It had become daily. It would not become, for many, many years, it had been a daily habit since I was in graduate school. And I'll get to the yoga in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the shitty part, man. Like, I think I tried to go in every rehab I could, tried different outpatient things, and it's hard to get help.
Of course it is.
It is. Unless you're getting fucking arrested or you're fucking rich, it's fucking hard to get help.
It's super hard. Yeah, I mean, there's just no resources for it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like it's a dying problem, essentially, no one cares about this problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, or that's what it feels like, for sure.
I had some really great friends. A gentleman named David Wallace comes to mind that I worked with that really helped me. And I'm going off on a tangent here, but I think this is a crazy story. But I remember seeking out the best addiction doctor I could find. And it was my arrogance and my ego thinking I had to find someone I thought smarter than me.
Yeah.
Right?
This is normal, though.
Yeah. And I found this gentleman, Dr. Phil Flores, who had written textbooks on addiction, especially in light of attachment disorder. And I read some of those things, and it sounded very familiar to me. So called him, never called me back. Emailed me, never emailed me back. Finally got him, figured he didn't take my insurance. It's going to cost... This is some bullshit. So, like, he might not take insurance, but your insurance covers mental health, right?
Right?
However, up to how much they're willing to pay. So if a doctor charges $120, the insurance company might say they're only going to pay for $50.
Yeah.
You never meet your fucking deductible.
Right.
Right? And then how can anyone get help? But anyway,
right.
I was like, I need help. I'm fucking going to this guy.
Yeah.
And he's been my doctor since.
Oh, geez.
So that was June 25th, 2013.
And so is he like a therapist or
he's a psychologist.
Oh, psychologist.
Yeah. Okay. So that June 25th, 2013, I quit using drugs, but I refused. I did not think I had a problem drinking. I thought drinking was normal.
Okay. Well, I thought it was normal too until you are no longer normal with your behavior around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. And it was about 6 months from that point that I Googled beginner's yoga Atlanta and found balance yoga.
Wow.
I was 245 pounds.
How much do you weigh now?
About 178.
Wow.
So
that's a big change.
Yeah. But I remember walking in. I had a different teacher at the time, a woman named Jennifer, and she was great for my beginner's class. And I remember being scared to death of Kathy and Marcia.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever they would come in, because they were hard. They'd like
make
me do the things. But I stuck with it. I have no idea why I stuck with it. No idea. I didn't know shit. I didn't even know what Ashtanga was or Mysore. I hadn't even seen the words.
But why did you type in yoga in the first place?
I
mean, did your therapist say that? Or did your psychologist?
This is where, like, you know, I think you know me not to be a religious man, but, like, it makes me often wonder if something else is at play. My grad school girlfriend was a yogi. She was born Jewish, converted to Buddhism. She practiced yoga. That's the only thing. Like, they didn't have yoga where in Harrison, Georgia.
But did you know that yoga was helpful for addiction? Or,
no.
Or you were just like, I'm going to do some yoga.
I was like, I'm a fat ass and I need
to do something.
Do something.
And like, but it was from a fitness standpoint, or it was because of like drugs and alcohol that you were like, I need yoga?
It was from a desperation standpoint.
Even better.
Because, I mean, I was off drugs, but I was like, I'm obviously obese. I'm sitting in a room of filth.
Yeah.
Because my coworker saw I needed help and decided to rent me a room in her house. I think, if I remember correctly, her brother overdosed and like probably saw some things in me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just sitting there with a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'm like, I gotta fucking do something.
And you Googled
yoga.
Wow.
And I really thought, I was like, this is probably, beginner's yoga is probably the easiest thing I can do.
But it's Ashtanga yoga.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah. Beginner's Ashtanga yoga, which is like the hardest beginner that you can begin at.
I just kept going back, man. If it, you know, you never know how life's going to go, man. But like, you know, if it wasn't for Balance, Marcia, and Kathy, like, I don't know that I'd be sitting here.
Yeah. Well, you know, the crazy story about it is like before I even met you, you know, they were telling me about you, you know, and I kind of told you a little bit about this story.
You told me here.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost a year ago today, yeah. I guess. And, you know, like Kathy was all upset because, you know, like you were texting her and like you were asking for help and they weren't sure how to help you. And this is like kind of right as we were getting everything off the floor for the Trini Foundation. And, you know, Balanced Yoga became a partner studio and stuff like that. That was like right around all of this time. And I guess the crazy thing was is that, you know, I gave them as much support as I could possibly do with you. I think if I remember right, I think I told Kathy, I said, there's absolutely nothing that you can do besides, like, it's more of a pull instead of a push him in the door. You can't beg him to practice. He's got to want to be able to do it himself. And that was, like, very disheartening. I mean, because they're normal people. They don't understand how this disease works. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay that they don't know how to deal with it. But as addicts, like, we know how to deal with it. And it's like, yeah, you gotta, you know, you're not able to coddle someone into yoga or 12 steps or any of therapy or any of this stuff. They have to want it themselves. And I remember they were like, he doesn't want it himself. Like, you know, we're begging him to come to class, or he does really good, and then all of a sudden he'll smell like booze in class. And I had several conversations about it. It was something that was very heavy, because they knew that you needed it and wanted it and like all of that stuff, but you just weren't doing it.
Well, the crazy part was, on the other end of it, they had your book just sitting there.
Yeah.
On the top of the refrigerator, and I just kept seeing it. And they had told me about you. They're like, Taylor Hunt. I had never done a workshop until I went to your workshop a few months after that. That's January 1st, 2017, when I said, I didn't say I'm going to stop drinking. In my mind, I knew I needed to stop drinking. But I said, I'm going to take 90 days off from drinking, because 90 days lands on my birthday, March 31st.
Wow.
And I took your book to St. John. This is what's fucking crazy. This was not that long ago.
Yeah.
Because it was the same year I came to Costa Rica the first time, so it's only about a year. You're in eight or 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Took your book to St. John and was reading it. And I highlighted, I wanted to see, again, you know, who's smarter than me, right? Like, I'm a fucking arrogant asshole. I was just sitting there highlighting everything that I felt we had in common. And I think my friend Megan has that copy. Because she asked, she's like, what can I read to understand the mind of an addict? I'm like, you should read this, because I highlight, and it was like half the book.
Yeah.
You know, I know we had different things we struggled with, but in a lot of ways it's the same thing.
Yeah, same way, just manifests a little bit different, yeah.
But it was just like, I think if you look on Instagram, there's a picture.
Of it all highlighted?
Yeah.
The whole page is highlighted. The whole book is highlighted.
And then you, I mean, I remember being on the beach in St. John, Instagram's proof of this, and me seeing Trinity Foundation Instagram challenge, and me thinking, you know, you referenced this in your social media post today, but like me thinking, like, I'm not a yogi, like, I've been practicing a year, if I'm not a yogi, like, I could not put myself on Instagram.
And right. Thing.
And I'm standing right there on the beach in St. John, Made in Atlanta t-shirt, Samasti Tihi. And then did it every day.
Yeah, I know. And then you won.
Yeah, wonder how that happened.
Yeah, well, the story around that is I knew that, I mean, Balance called me and they said that they thought, like, you might die. Like, they were concerned about you. I mean, they were literally, legitimately concerned. And I remember having the thought that, okay, well, how can I help this person? And you joined the challenge. And I was like, well, if he does all the post, he'll win. And you did all the post, and you won. And I think you won like a discount off the workshop or something like that.
I won a free workshop.
Oh, a free workshop.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah, free. So you won a, I forgot about that. And so I had to get you in the room so that I could basically show you who I was and to see if I could help you.
That was the crazy part. I don't think I would have been sober still, except for I had the thought. I was like, I won this. How did I win this thing? And then I was like,
Well, your posts were super real too. Like, you did a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it was legit.
I was in, man. I remember.
You were totally in.
I remember there's one black and white photo of me in a train station, or where the MARTA train picks you up. And I remember my phone dying. I was flying back from St. John. And I remember I had a certain time to get the post in, like I was going to miss the day. And I jumped out, not even my stop, set my phone up some kind of crazy way on the suitcase, and just like got the last picture I could get so I could post it. So I could like,
yeah,
I was in.
You were.
And, but like, that's the crazy thing was like, I distinctly remember thinking, I was like, I'm not going to see him until September, I think it was.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't meet this man still. And have been like, I took 90 days off drinking, but I'm drinking again.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I know. And now standing in front of you. And I think we went to dinner and we did some things while we were there or as a group or whatever. It was good. But I mean, that's what I had the means to help someone. And I knew it was like real and I knew it was right there. And so that's what I did.
Well, so thank you.
Yeah, yeah, you're welcome. And so let's talk about a little bit about why do you think Ashtanga Yoga is working for you?
Man.
Because it's clearly working.
It does work. I've been formulating my thoughts around it. I know, you know, I write publicly like every 10 days.
And, yeah.
And I've been thinking, and I go back and forth. I started out like power of Ashtanga Yoga. Then I thought maybe it was just yoga, or maybe it's the power of I truly think it's Ashtanga Yoga.
How so?
And I, you know, so often you hear like it's a method, mm-hmm. right? It's not a style of yoga. It's a method.
Right. That's what Sherratt says a lot.
And I tell people, there's a young man in Atlanta I've told this to. He's like, I want to do what you did, but he's like, but I want to let you know that I'm a food addict. And he's like, I don't think I can change my diet. And I was like, I don't need you to do anything but meet me here at 6 a.m. And you can go in and just do a couple of things and leave if you want.
Yeah.
Like
Has he been meeting you?
He hasn't taken me up on it, but there's different reasons for that.
Yeah.
He moved and stuff. But that's the power, like, I believe it has. And you're obviously the expert here, so this mm-hmm. is just my own thinking. But like, because of the other aspects, right? The Yoga Sutra says yoga is basically about learning to control your mind.
Sure.
Right?
That's exactly.
And what more does an addict need? Right?
Impulse control.
Yeah. Like. But you know, and like, I mean, I think about this through my entire practice. And for those who don't know Ashtanga, I guess a lot of the audience does, it's like, you know, daily practice except for moon days, early morning practice.
Right.
If you can, a lot of people practice a certain diet or whatever it is, you know, drishti and breath and these types of things. And it's like, all of it's mind control, or learning to control your mind.
Yeah.
Right. It's, yeah, I'd love to be able to go and practice 6 days a week, like, but it is something I aspire to, and through that, every time I do it, I'm controlling my mind a little bit. If I'm in Navasana, right, it's mind control to take 5 slow breaths, right. If I want to skip a vinyasa, if I do it, that's a little bit more mind control that I have practiced, and over time, I don't even know how it happened. Like my mind used to be shot out. And now, like, for the most part, except for the crazy addict moments where my mind runs amok, I mean, I'm pretty calm throughout the day.
How long have you been practicing for?
Started January 4th-ish, maybe so 6th, 2014.
Okay.
So coming up on 5 years.
Wow. And that's when you did the beginner's class?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And how long, I'm just curious, how long were you drinking and doing yoga at the same time?
I quit drinking, there's a great story here. So I quit drinking January 1st, 2017. So three-ish years?
Yeah.
And Ashtanga Yoga is what led me to stop drinking. Because I remember, a few early in the story, I used to be a chemist.
Yeah.
And the scientific method is kind of my lens for the world. And this practice gives me something I can check in with. And I can see the results in other people. And I was doing the practice and not seeing some of the results. Not that that was attached to them, but it was like stuff like I would be in down dog and just shake violently. After 3 years of practice, like it made me start to question, like, is there something wrong with my muscles?
Yeah.
Right? I did some research, had some blood work done, found out I had a vitamin D deficiency, read a research article on how in alcoholics, like you can have a vitamin D deficiency, which causes muscle atrophy. Mm-hmm. So that's what led me to say, one of the pieces that led me to say, give 90 days and see if you see improvement. 90 days of not drinking, like I wasn't shaking a down dog. I was always stuck at half primary because I'd get past it and I'd start hurting, my shoulders would start hurting. 90 days in, full primary for the first time.
Wow.
I mean, it was...
That's crazy.
So like drinking was holding me back, but this practice gave me this method, right? Gave me the control variable to be like, why is this, after 3 years, why is this not going the way I think it should go? Which was very basic stuff, like.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, and so then all of a sudden you switched, you're like, I'm not, you do that 90 days and then you're like, I'm sticking with this?
Well, it's like, I'm a man, like, my career is based, it's like my software career is all around data and analytics.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like.
If you saw the data.
Yeah, I saw the data.
You're like, damn it.
But you know, you still have that, your mind's still like, 90 days, you proved it, like just cut back. Right,
but. Yeah. I mean, that's what the addict line says.
Yeah, and just things aligned.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about the mind control thing, but I mean, I guess the other part of it too is like, does it make you feel differently inside?
Over time.
Like, how do you feel different from the time that you were, you know, talking about earlier when you're trying to get the girls and drinking and, you know, in the basement to like, you know, now?
Man, I
mean, because like even in this short period of time that I've known you, you've made a lot of progress. I mean, you really come into like some serious clarity on a lot of things.
I the only thing I can say to you is like asana, right? Like it's a millimeter improvement a day. Like I don't see it.
I mean, but you say millimeter and like everyone who's watching you is saying like this dude's making like land, you know, you're jumping football fields at a time. I mean, to go from, you know, drinking to and doing yoga to all of a sudden like living your best life or whatever, because I mean, really, you kind of embody that. You know, you might say like, oh, the postures aren't making this huge amount of progress for me or whatever, if that's what you were saying. But I mean, in every other aspect, I mean, look at the person that you are today.
I guess I'll thank you. And I two things come to mind. One, as I was saying, is like, you know, you start in your beginner's class and you're a fat ass and you can't touch your toes.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone wants to know, can you touch your toes? Can't even touch my toes, can't go to yoga. Right. And then 3 years later, you're 170 pounds and your palms are flat on the floor.
Not right? Shaking.
That's right. And you don't. It just happened over time. You don't know how or why. You just did the thing that was prescribed, and it happened. That's why when I told that gentleman that, I'm just like, I understand you have this going on. Like, I just want you to show
just
up.
Just show up.
The other thing, man, is community.
How so?
You know, obviously, and that has expanded. And maybe there is some kind of correlation there. I don't know. The community at Balance Yoga is like nothing I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, I may never leave Atlanta just so I could be there.
Wow.
And I love them a lot. And then your community, but then you expand it. And I think, I think about my yoga teacher I go see in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it just, everywhere you go, like people are practicing the style. You can find them. You have something in common. I don't know, but specifically, Balance Yoga, the community I've met through your Shala and the Trinity Foundation. I mean,
yeah,
you have all these people supporting you.
Yeah,
and even if you fuck up, right? They're like, we get it. You're human. Get back on your fucking mat.
Yeah. yeah, showing up is the key. But yeah, the community is a big aspect of it. I mean, for certain, like, you know, when I was in my addiction or whatever, like, there was no one who wanted to hang around me, you know? And nowadays it's like, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an opportunity to be friends and be a teacher to people or a guide to people or whatever it is. And community aspect plays a critical role on people's like development.
It does.
It really does.
I mean, but they talk, I mean, obviously I'm not a big user of AA and stuff, but like you have a community there. I mean, it's part of recovery.
Of course.
But it's built in to the Sangha method in many ways, right? And even if it's through Instagram, I mean, like, half the people that are here, like, you know, we know each other through Instagram. We feel like we're friends when we got here because of the Sangha community. I met David Robinson the other night.
Yeah.
He's like, I know. It's like, oh, no, Instagram. You know? But it's like, but you can walk in somewhere and, you know, it's almost like people know, if they don't know your name, they know you're there to practice.
Yeah, of course.
You kind of have a family. That's been real powerful. You mean there's nothing special about me to go leaps and bounds. I was way in the hole.
So. But I mean, you have made these huge strides, like, you know, in life and practice, and I mean, body, you know, like getting rid of that much weight and stuff. Those are all huge things, you know.
I'm still not nearly the man I hope to be one day.
Yeah. Well, you think this yoga is like helping you be the man that you're supposed to be?
I do.
How do you figure that correlation between the two?
A couple things come to mind. One is, it's made my journey internal instead of external. I used to be very concerned with, did everyone like me? Could I date the girls? Could I date multiple girls? Could I have the most money? Could I win?
Yeah.
Just wanted to win. I wanted to win people's minds. I wanted to, you know,
win friends and influence people.
Right. And it was very external. Like, I mean, a lot of times I would make the joke that, like, I was aspiring to be the bad guys on Miami Vice. Like, I thought that was the fucking life. Yeah. But now my journey's internal.
Yeah. And you don't need all that stuff.
Don't need it. Yeah. And the more I figure myself out, the more I feel at home in my own skin, and the more I want to share.
Yeah.
And let people know, like, I embodied, at least for me when growing up, what was, like, I thought the American way, you know, and I'm just more content now. I have a good buddy named Thomas Stokel. We get together and have breakfast and talk a lot, and we don't talk about, I was going to say happier, but we try not to talk about being happier. We talk about being stronger and more resilient,
mm-hmm.
because happiness is fleeting.
Of course, and a lot of times it's a choice also.
Yeah.
Like, people sometimes don't fully realize that that's the key. I mean, there's so many people that complain.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you complaining? Like, you are the, this is your show.
Yeah.
Like, why are you complaining? Like, you can live the best life that you can possibly live, but you're complaining about, like, how a fan's not working, or, you know, or
that's right.
The train is 2 minutes late or something. You know, it's like, but anyways.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you feel better about yourself today?
I do, man. I feel better about myself. I'm less concerned about myself. Both in aspects of, like, being dying soon or going to jail, but just, like, I don't, my mind is not on myself as much. I mean, I'm not perfect, so obviously it is sometimes, but I had this thought the other day, probably a few months ago now, but it's just like, all these things I've learned about myself, and it's perfectly fine if it helps me and I have a content life and fade off the sunset, but, like, why not share?
Yeah.
You know, if it can help some, especially people who knew me back then. I mean, like I am 1,000 times better, more content, happier, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah. Well, you said comfortable in your own skin. And I mean, clearly, like, from the first time that I met you to now, like, you're definitely made huge strides in comfortable.
Yeah, and we both know I have a lot of work to do, but.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, no.
I'm teasing. I mean, we both have a lot of work to do. So, I mean, I'm no saint either. You know, I still have work to do. I still have things I have to clean up. We both do. So I'm wondering, like, you know, like, getting that deeper aspect to, like, but I mean, why is it that you practice today? Like, I mean, why do you show up?
Kathy and I had a conversation. Kathy Cohen, mm-hmm. from Balance, I know, for the audience. I love her.
Yeah.
We had this conversation the other day, and I was working through a blog post title of, like, I don't enjoy yoga. It's like a clickbait title, right?
Sure.
Like, everyone would be like, what, Butler does yoga? Like, what the fuck do you mean he doesn't enjoy it? But true, I mean, for my first chaturanga, like, I am not an athletic person, so it's not pleasant. It's not like my inner goddess is shining through my sun salutations.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Especially in lead.
Yeah, tomorrow's lead for the audience.
But it's the data. I mean, it's like, I show up because I have to show up. I mean, I'd be a fool. I'm not going to say have to. I don't like that word.
Yeah.
I'd be a fool not to show up, right? You're saying, like, I give an hour and a half investment into my life every day and I get all this. You fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, for someone like me, I'm in software, like, my phone's always on, you know, like, People yell at me all the time for being on my phone. It's like hour and a half, no phone.
Yeah.
If I try to be on my phone, teacher's yelling at me.
Right.
Right. If I'm leaving the room, teacher's like, why are you leaving the room? That kind of stuff. You know, like that's even at that level, that's a blessing. You know, but like, I mean, I'd be a fool to walk away from it, you know, and does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So how often do you do it?
You know that. I know you have spies down in Atlanta.
I don't have spies down in Atlanta.
You know, I do, honestly. And I do think this is part of the practice. You know, even if I can't get there 6 days a week, and often don't, the fact that there is a method that's prescribed 6 days a week gives me something to always go and aspire to. And if I can, then I beat my mind one more time.
Yeah.
Right? 4 or 5 is typically... Yeah. I even count whether I go to morning or evening practice as mind control, right? I'm a physically able body person, right? No matter what I have done, because I don't drink, I don't do drugs anymore, mm-hmm. I can get up and go to morning practice. So the only
reason... You make a decision to, yeah, right. Of course.
The only reason I would not go, or don't go, is my mind has somehow told me, you're going to be too tired, don't set your alarm, or you wake up, like, oh, you can go in the afternoon.
Yesterday was so rough. You know, or today was so rough. I can't go tomorrow.
But it's only your mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, the mind is super powerful.
No shit.
And, you know, like, it makes smart people do really stupid things.
Yes, I know.
And it makes dumb people do sometimes smart things, too. Yeah. You know, like, I remember when I came into 12 Steps or whatever, they said, sometimes the smart people don't make it. They said, this is a very dumb program. you gotta be pretty stupid to do this.
Well, I think smart folk have a hard time with surrender. Forgive me for not knowing exactly which sutra, but I should tell you the story, maybe another episode one day on my journey with the
Part
sutras.
Part 2, yeah.
You won't even believe it when I tell it. But I remember the day I read the sutra that says, what is required is practice, self-study, our study of the ancient text, and surrender to God.
Yeah.
And short version is, when I finally got to reading the sutras, I had tried many times, when it finally stuck, I felt like everything I read had already happened in my life. Like, I'm like, that is true. That is true. That is true.
You're like 1.1. True.
True.
1.2.
True. And then I got to that, right? And I was like, practice. True. Self-study and I was studying, I studied philosophy like crazy, like self-study and studying the ancient texts, I do that, that's true. And it's like, surrender to God, and I'm like, oh.
You're like, I'm gonna have to work on that.
Yeah, like, I'm too smart for that.
Yeah, I'm too smart for religion.
Yeah. Or whatever. But, you know, that put me on a path of Shraddha. Like, I choose to believe, I have faith, I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
You know. I'm not the man I want to be yet, and I make a lot of fucking mistakes, and I'm not the great guy that everybody on comments on social media thinks I am, you know, but I'm just doing what I can.
Yeah. And living a more content life.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's really amazing to hear, you know, it's, you know, like I said, the growth that you've experienced, you know, in just a short amount of time. I mean, when we do this in a couple years, like when we do another podcast like this, I mean, who knows what's going to be going down?
I might actually be able to do Dropbox.
Or bind your hands in.
Or go to primary.
Get out of primary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might show up to lead class every
week. I might show up every week.
6 days a week.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I really want to thank you for being on the show. It was nice to get to know a little bit of like your mind and a little bit of your story and just kind of get a little bit of background. I mean, you're doing some amazing work. So, Butler, just keep it going, man. I appreciate you being involved with the Trinity Foundation, and I appreciate like everything that you're doing with regard to the community. I mean, you know, like you say, balanced community is like awesome. But I mean, really, you're one of the people that makes like this kind of global community that we have even better. So I appreciate you being a part of that. And thanks for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. And I just want to take a moment to personally thank you for injecting yourself into my life. And
yeah.
Crazy how it works.
Yeah, it is crazy how it works. But I'm grateful that it happened.
Me too.
I'm good how it happened, all of that stuff. I was like kind of the instrument you know, like, I'm not responsible for anything besides just giving you an opportunity to do what you needed to do.
Well, I have lots of love for you, brother.
Yeah, same here, man. Cool, same man. Here. All right, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Absolutely.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.